Hi there. That was fast. It acted like it wasn't going to hook up, and then it did. So, hi. Welcome to another episode of 10 Minute Grammar. We are on episode number 14, and I did the whole 10 Parts of Speech in Order series introduction, right? And then I had a few episodes of my writing tips for every grade. And we are going to get back to that, but today I want to move over to a different topic, and that is elementary poetry writing. I've been writing poetry with my third, fourth, and fifth graders, and well, maybe it's more like fourth, fifth, and sixth. I would say they're more fourth, fifth, and sixth. So upper elementary, beginning middle school, right? And so when I start to teach poetry. First of all, I get very excited about teaching poetry because I love teaching poetry. I love writing poetry, I love reading poetry, and I love teaching poetry. So there's a definite, a little bit of a sway there based on the fact that I love teaching poetry so much because I love writing it as well. And so that kind of gives me a little bit of an edge to help my kids write better poetry and to help them with the syllabication and the lining up and all of that, because that can be very, very challenging for all poet writers, all poets, right? And not just fourth and fifth and sixth graders. So here are 9 steps that I go through when I teach elementary poetry. Hopefully, I'll have time for all 9 of them in 10 minutes. Okay, number one, the first tip is to remember that teaching poetry is a process. It's not a one and done. I like to do poetry for about 2 weeks twice a year with this age. And that way, we are not just like hitting it in one day or 2 days or 3 days and then we're done, right? Because it is a process. There is a lot going on with poetry. So there is a lot to cover, and especially if we want them to come out writing poetry, right? It's a different ball game when we're using it for reading. We're using it for reading comprehension, for metaphors, for figurative writing, for comprehension, those type of things. But it's a whole different ball game when we are using it to teach kids to write poetry. So first thing is to remember that it is a process and not a one and done, and to allot enough time for it. Now, I say I like to allot 2 weeks. That is not 2 weeks nonstop, because my language arts program, it has all elements of language arts woven throughout it. So they are still, while we're writing all the time, no matter what kind of writing we're doing, they are still doing their copy work, their spelling, their editor duty, their vocabulary, their grammar, their spelling practices, dictation, all of those things. So I'm not saying that we do nothing but poetry for 2 weeks, but that is our writing emphasis for 2 weeks. Okay, then secondly is to be sure that you read poetry aloud. So you want them to get excited about poetry. There are a lot of fun and funny poetry books out there that you can read aloud from during, not even necessarily during your writing time, but during another time, like during literary time, or during reading class, or during read aloud, or during even like history or something like that. You can even incorporate poetry into whatever units that you are studying or whatever topics that you're covering in other subjects. But you want them to get excited about poetry. And so just springing on them that they're going to start writing, you're going to write poetry, this week you're going to be able to do this. Whereas without this, number one, understanding it's a process, and number two, spending time reading it. Now, when I read poetry to them, I always work on the rhyme scheme at that time. Rhyme scheme is the most difficult part of writing poetry. As far as rhymed verse is concerned. And I always use rhymed verse for elementary kids because it's way more familiar to them. And also, even though we think that unrhymed or free verse is easier because you don't have to worry about rhyming, and in many cases, not even worry about the syllabication, but it really isn't easier because it's too vague, it's too open-ended. There are not enough parameters, there are not enough guidelines, or not enough boundaries to keep them in for free verse. So I don't use free verse in elementary. So we use rhymed verse. So as I read poetry to them, we figure out the rhyme scheme. Now, this is a two-step process, and I like for them to have the copy in front of them with their highlighters, and then they highlight the first word. So let me start with Humpty Dumpty. Okay. Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Okay. I tell them that we are going to rhyme. When we write poetry, we are going to rhyme with the last word or last syllable or syllables of a line, right? And so we, first of all, Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. We highlight wall with one color. Then I say, Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And I say, does that rhyme with wall? Yes, it does. So let's highlight that in the same color. So it's very visual when you use highlighters to teach this, that we are showing them that wall and fall are both going to be highlighted in green, for so to speak, because they are rhyming. All the king's horses and all the king's men. Does men rhyme with hall and fall? Wall and fall? No. So let's choose a different color. And I like to have us all do at the same color. So now I'll say, okay, everybody get pink. And highlight all the king's horses, all the king's men, highlight men. And then let's go to the next line. Couldn't put Humpty together again. Highlight again with that same color as what we highlighted the men with. Okay, so now we're at, you know, wall and fall and men and again. All right, so now we can see visually these two lines rhyme and these two lines rhyme. Then at that point, then is when I start telling them that lines have letter names based on when they rhyme. Now, this is much simpler than just starting out putting A, B, B at the end of poetry lines, right? Because they are actually able to see green, green, pink, pink, right? So then I say rhyming lines have letter names. And the letter names are based on which lines rhyme with each other. We already have ours highlighted, so that makes it simple. So let's go after Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall, and we're going to start with A, because in poetry, we always start with A when we are finding the rhyming lines. So that's A. Now, every time another line rhymes with A, it's also going to be called A. Now, that's simple enough, because guess what? Wall and fall are both in green, or blue, or whatever we did it in, right? So then I say, Humpty Dumpty had a great fall, and that's green, just like the first one. So it's also going to be A. So every line that rhymes is going to be the same letter name. So far we have A and we have A. And then we go down and I say all the king's horses and all the king's men. And then I say men, does not rhyme with the other two. It's a different color. So what's after A? B, right. Now we're going to write B after this one. So the first two lines rhyme and the next two lines rhyme. And then we do the same thing with couldn't put Humpty together again, and it is also B. So then they have a poem in front of them that they have marked with AABB. And I tell them, this is called an AABB poem. Why is it called AABB poem? And they all know, because it's highlighted and it is letter named. All right, then the other part of rhyme scheme that is pretty difficult for small children, so you want to be sure to do this together with them, and that is figuring out the syllabication. I tell them that poems rhyme because they have rhyming words at the end or rhyming syllables at the end, and because each line is almost or exactly the same number of syllables as the one that it rhymes with. So then we start counting. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. 8. And I had them put 8 in parentheses after their A. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. Also 8. Look at this, guys. A and A both have 8. That's what makes them rhyme so well. Then we go to the next one. All the king's horses and all the king's men. That's 10. We put that in parentheses. Couldn't put Humpty together again. That is also 10. All right. So now we have an AABB rhyme scheme with 8, 8, 10, 10. And then I say, you know what? Most poetry is like 8 to, it's within a range of each other. So they go together. So notice how this is 8 and this is 10. So that means that if we were to continue this poem, we'd want to stay with that 8 or 9 or 10, because then they all sound better together. And then I give them an example of one that doesn't sound right together. So I will say, let's go back to the first line. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. All right, that's 8 syllables. Now, if we mess up the syllabication so that it's not 8 or 9 or 10, it's not in that range that makes it sound right, it will sound like this. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a terrible, bad, horrific fall. Humpty Dumpty had a terrible, bad, horrific fall is 14 syllables. We can't have something that's 8 and something that's 14 because they don't sound right together. Are you following me so far? All right, so far we are into 3 steps out of our 9. So looks like we're gonna have a part 2. All right, so here we go. First of all, remember that it is a process. It is not one and done. Read poetry to them and let them have it in front of them while you are going through the rhyme scheme with them. I'm going to talk more about choosing these poems next week, but just suffice it to say you want them very, 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 very simple. You don't want like an A, B, C, C, D, or something like that. Not at this level. You want it to be, at this beginning part, you want it to be couplets. That's A, B, B. Okay, you want those to be couplets. All right, and so then as you read poetry and they have that in front of them, you help them learn to figure out the rhyme scheme by highlighting the last syllable and then the syllabication of each line to show that there is a range that they go with, and focusing on rhymed verse. All right, next week for episode number 15 of 10 Minute Grammar, I will give you the remaining 6 tips for this. They're not as long as this because definitely the rhyme scheme, the syllabication, all of that is very, very intensive, very labor intensive with small children. So just read a poem, do one, the next day read another poem and do the syllabication and the rhyme scheme of that and so forth, making it fun. And also read some out of some silly books like Where the Sidewalk Ends or what is that one that's so funny about the president? It's got Donald Duck or something. I can't remember what it's got. Daffy Duck. Anyway, all kinds. I've got all kinds of poetry books. I love poetry books, so I have a ton of them. But, you know, do some where it's just fun and you're not doing rhyme schemes, and do some with it in front of them where it's more beginning to learn to write, right? Beginning to learn to interpret rhyme scheme so that then they can write the rhyme scheme. So looks like I have a circle from my ring light on right here. So I'm going to check that out. I may have to re-record. Anyway, thank you for joining me for another episode of 10 Minute Grammar, beginning poetry writing with upper elementary students. And I'll have more next time for you. Thanks a lot.